This is Pure Decking, show number 415 for Thursday, November, what the hell is today, 5th? This for 2020, this show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and the fact that I'm so fucking tired of politics. In fact, politics have taken over so much of the news that we're probably going to be a short show, because I didn't have that many articles to talk to that weren't something to do with the election. So, yeah, I'm Morps. Tonight we have Are You? Hello, are you?
Well,
we have Madman.
Good.
Hola.
Before we get into stories, I mean, just get it out. Let's get it done. Politics now. Whatever you got, then we'll call it done. Like a minute. Go.
I have really good bourbon, and there's not going to be anything to report until Tuesday.
Awesome.
I'm just watching the Happening Center and thoroughly enjoying the show. Teach them to take fucking cops off the air. Okay.
What do you guys like better, the clown or the clown?
I got the clown. The honk. The mechanical device. That's the one. I like that one.
Yeah, we'll go with that one.
And I was going to play one of the others, but then I remembered that they're all named recording by the date. So I don't know which one of these I'm about to hit. Let's try. I picked up some new sound effects to slip in occasionally, but we decided we weren't going to use two, so I know not that one. Madman, pick 3 or 11?
11.
11.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Democracy simply doesn't work.
Good pick.
Oh, and, no, it may work. You just get what you voted for good and hard. Good
aren't
and hard.
We all.
Good and hard. Is it that one? No. Might be. No, it's not that one either. I had one of these that would work for that, and I don't remember which one it is. It might be this one.
I am an adult actress, and my keyboard is sticky.
Good to know.
Yeah.
We're not playing that one. This is the wrong station for that type of noise.
Fair enough. So, moving on?
Yep. Higher class, and I think that chick's going to get carded in every bar she goes to.
Anyways, so getting right into it. First one is from TheGuardian.com. UK lawyers uneasy about plan to prosecute hate speech at home. Proposals to prosecute individuals for hate crimes based on what they discuss in their own homes needs to be more widely debated, free speech organizations have said. The suggestion to remove the, quote, dwelling privacy exemption from criminal legislation is buried in a few paragraphs of the Law Commission's 544-page consultation on hate crime published this September. The commission said on Wednesday that it was, quote, not intending for private conversations at the dinner table to be prosecuted as hate speech, unquote, although that appears to be one of the possible consequences of the proposed change. Till 1986, the offense of using words or behavior intended or likely to incite racial hatred could only be committed in a public place. The scope was later expanded, but an exemption remained, quote, where words or behaviors are used or written material displayed within a dwelling, provided that they cannot be seen or heard outside, unquote. The proposal was spotted by the organization Fair Cop, which campaigns against what it says is a misuse of legislation to curb free speech. Sarah Fillmore, a barrister and member of the organization, said it would encourage, quote, state surveillance or people to inform on their friends. How else would they get the evidence? It would be like the East German Stasi security service, unquote. The Index on Censorship also raised concerns about the proposals. Its chief executive, Ruth Smith, a former Labour MP and member of the Jewish Labour Movement who had received death threats during her time in Parliament, said...
Imagine my shock.
Yeah. Quote, it's extremely complicated and needs to be looked at in the round. We need to have a proper national dialogue if we're going to start putting restrictions on language like this. There could be unintended consequences. People have a right to debate issues at home. If somebody reads from Mein Kampf at home because they are studying it, would they get reported to the police? Where do you draw the line between intellectual curiosity and crime? Unquote. A spokesperson for the Law Commission said, quote, we found that the current law on incitement of racial and other forms of hatred is inconsistent and poorly targeted. Our proposals aim to clarify and improve the laws. We look forward for hearing from members of the public on how we can improve our proposals, unquote. So what they're doing is they've been examining the hate crime laws in Britain, in the UK, and they're talking about removing an exemption for private dwellings. So, you know, if you happen to use the wrong word in front of your Amazon Alexa, you can be prosecuted for it in the UK. Or, you know, if you're upset because daddy didn't get you the new car, so you're going to go narc on your dad and say, he said the N-word.
Yeah, now, that's how UK, it's going to get used.
In the UK, are we talking about the N-word for black people, or are we talking about the N-word for Germans from in the 1940s?
Both. Unless it's being used towards a white male.
Well, I mean, that's just assumed.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, why make an example of, like, Mein Kampf? Why not say Karl Marx? Same shit, different book. Right?
Because everyone knows Nazis are bad, and not everyone knows that communists are bad, even though they do have a higher body count.
Oh, yeah, I'm just saying, man, why is literature the attacking point? Like, I would think that...
Because they don't want to advertise any websites that they don't want people going to?
Well, no, I mean, so if I'm in a public library, what's wrong with me perusing, you know, some of the... middle sections of Mein Kampf that talks about public coercion, you know?
Well, there's a question. Under these kind of laws, can Mein Kampf even be in a public library?
Well, I'd hope so, because there's some fucking good knowledge in that book about public coercion and the power of sloganism and iconography. But... Yeah, man, I think everybody should read Mein Kampf. That's just my pill. And Marx.
Well, it doesn't hurt to study what they say.
Read whatever the fuck you want, man. Have any opinion you want. Spout it. Yeah? But there's a time and a place. I get there's a time and a place, and in my own home, be fucked if I'll be told what to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because if this law gets adopted in Britain, it'll come here. Yeah, and... I've had people say that I can't say that. I'm like, my house, I can say whatever the fuck I want. Don't like it, you can leave. No one's stopping you.
Well, even if it is something that would be considered hateful, you should still be able to discuss it. Like eugenics. The idea of eugenics is repugnant. I don't think we should selectively breed and just kill people off because we don't like them or because we consider them inferior.
But if we don't
have those types of ideas, or discuss those types of ideas to come to the conclusions that can be wrong.
But Madman, if we don't have the eugenics wars, we'll be out of time or we won't be following the Star Trek timeline anymore.
I'm fine with that. They all become communists.
Fair enough. That was a very serious answer to a very dumb joke.
Yeah, you're right, Madman. eugenics is a great conversation.
Yeah.
It really, really gets to, you get to know the people around you with conversation like that.
Well, and it's not just out of like hate speech or whatever. Just discussing different public policy can be considered hateful to some people.
Well, listen,
where do
me.
You draw the line? Do I get to decide if we're going to say, you have the right to take 50% of my income for whatever policy? I mean, I could consider that hateful.
Well, what if you have the some of the definitions of what's considered hateful from, say, the Antifa crowd to make it into the definition of hate speech?
Well, let's leave Antifa out of
well,
it. Let's go with climate extinction.
Oh, there's a good one. There you go.
That involves a whole different level of fucking crazy.
There you go. So, yeah, saying you don't if you say in your own home to somebody that you don't believe in climate change and it gets recorded, can you be charged for that under this proposal?
Well, are they going to prosecute on hearsay?
That's what I'd be worried about.
Maoist struggle sessions. I'm looking forward to my first one, aren't you? Because... Yeah, you can't break what's already broken, if you know what I mean.
Note to self, buy a house with a basement so I can hide in it.
And not just the whole, is it hate speech? You're giving the cop something else for probable cause.
Yeah.
I think I heard him say the N-word. And now they have the right to go to a search warrant and look at your house. You've committed a crime.
Oh, then are they going to go with literature as well? Are we going to have hate literature?
It said something that you could see, so at least posters.
I see you have a Trump campaign poster on the wall, sir. Oh, no, I just collect political campaign posters. See, here's the folder with all the others. You have a Trump one. You're coming with me.
Yeah.
Do you have a license for that poster?
Wait. If I keep my curtains drawn, paying cash, and no one can see it, is that fine? Like, yeah, this is stupid. The UK is dancing with something that it has no understanding of. And I can just see this being used in all the wrong ways, on all the wrong people. Like, dude, they're just going to lock Tommy Robbins up instantly. They know he's going to have said something offensive in his house. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Are they just going to retroact it? Well, I know this guy. Like, Ricky Gervais. Are they going to come around and just arrest Ricky Gervais? Because you know that man's offensive 24 hours a day, and that's why I love him. But, yeah, so every comedian in the UK is subject to arrest for this.
And not just comedians. I'm a Christian.
Oh. Yeah, I was just thinking...
Some things that Islam says and is part of their religion, then they might not even mean it to be hateful. But it's sacrilegious. That could be hate speech to me. They say that Jesus is not the Son of God.
Yeah.
I'm remembering...
Is every imam going to be going into jail? Or you can even throw it the opposite way. Is some of the teachings in Christianity, such as Jesus is the Son of God... That's heresy in both Judaism and Islam. Is every church now hate speech?
Well, I think this is what they really want at the end of the day. Full control. Absolute authoritarian control. Because they can't control Islam. They can't control Antifa. They're having troubles with those who are against Islam and Antifa. Is it just blanket fuck them all as hard as we can? Is that what they're going for? That sounds like to me what they're going for. So what they're going to do is fragmentate their community even further, as no one will talk outside of their groups anymore. Therefore, ideas will not spread.
Well,
for fear of offense.
I'm just thinking you're going to have a whole bunch of situations like the old South Park joke, and I think this is the right clip.
We have to do something! Well, we can't do anything for now. That fat bitch won't let us.
What did you say?
I said that rabbits eat lettuce.
Oh! Well, yes, they certainly do.
The bus driver.
Yeah. It's Joe. No, Crab Apple, I think it was. Crabtree. No, I can't remember. But no, I think if you play the longest game, that's what they want to do. That's complete control. You'll never get anyone going outside of their group having a conversation. Imagine how quiet a pub would become.
But not just how quiet a pub would become. This is going to cause balkanization.
Yeah.
If you can't just discuss basic beliefs and ideas with your neighbors, I mean, you don't even have to be trying to convince them. Just, I'm interested in what you think and what you believe. If you're talking about any serious issue, and people should be talking about some serious issues, that's how you decide what public policy should be, you're going to say something that someone is going to find offensive, whether you meant to or not. It could just be, we were discussing this, and so-and-so was offended by a stance or a possible stance that could be taken. You don't even need to be advocating for the position, just, we're discussing this set of policies, this is something that could be read into it, and so-and-so's pissed off about it.
Yeah. As I said, I think you play it out in the long game. That's what happens.
Well, and something we've seen over here some, it doesn't even have to be somebody who's offended by it. I'm offended for this other group that might be offended by it. And yeah. Then, I mean, yeah, that ball just never stops rolling. Now, yeah, it's slippery slope. We get that. Slippery slope is a logical fallacy. But that's assuming that governments and people operate logically, and they don't, which means logical fallacies are in play.
Unless I'm going to have to cut down. I'm going to have to cut down to one midget joke a week. Otherwise, somebody going to be offended.
Well, if you've only got one midget, then how are you doing the mid-air collision?
Exactly. They banned that years ago.
Oh, no more dwarf tossing?
Yeah, it was causing spontaneous fun, and you can't have spontaneous fun.
That's awesome, dude.
Dude, when have you not had fun seeing a little person get chucked at something?
Like, especially when you're being chucked at a larger person. Exactly. You see a midget in a full-size mosh pit?
Dude, over here, you have midget wrestling groups that go around and tour and sell tickets.
I know, because they are their own person. They're comfortable doing what they want to fucking do. Let them do it. You know what I mean? They ruled out a whole fucking employment industry for midgets in this country. Ridiculous.
I know that's literally, you can't have midget wrestling?
No. Oh, well, it's
fucking hilarious.
Even if the two midgets consent.
Yeah, it's not like anybody's making them do it. They're getting paid.
It's not like you're forcing them to do it. They're getting paid. It's no different to two strippers dancing together. You know, they're getting paid to do something demeaning. Anyway, bad idea. Let's hope they don't introduce it.
Do you think Britain will start walking back any of their hate speech laws?
No.
Or is it? Are they? You think they're actually hard-coded in now?
This is forever, man. They've politically fucking ballsed everything up in the last 20 years to where they've got no control of the political animal that is the people, and they're scared shitless of the people. So they're desperately trying to wrestle some sort of normality back to where they can control different groups.
Good luck with that.
Well, dude, that's what there's a lot of countries trying to do that, right? Look at France, dude. France has just had its come to Jesus moment, you know, with Islam. They've suddenly figured out that, oh shit, they're actually a real voting power now, and neither both sides of the left French will get any votes from them because they're going to create their own voting bloc. So they're having to go full hardcore against Islam, and Islam's not having a bar of it, and they're fighting back. Macron's in a struggle right now. I don't think he'll see his way out of this. I mean, there are a lot of countries in Europe right now who are pretty much pointing and laughing at France.
Yeah.
Do they have enough constitutional protections to stick with at least separation of church and state?
Well, that's the thing, Madman. They want a lot of French's constitution is not similar to America, but the same style of stuff. They want a lot of that just gone. And France is going, well, no, that's our constitution. You can't do that. They're all, well, it's goes against the Quran. We've got to get rid of it. You're blaspheming. So the idea of free expression in France, they want it gone. Islam will not tolerate free expression anymore. They've put their foot down. They're fighting Macron against it. And Macron is like, no, we'll shut down your mosques. And they're like, we don't care. We're just going to start running amok until you do what we say. They realize they're fucked. What are they going to do? And because half the idiots in France are brainwashed to be pro-Islam, they're double fucked.
You know what the answer is going to
That's my in-depth political dive into France. They're fucked.
They're just going to borrow some of that old ethnic cleansing. Oh, that'll end well.
Well, Europe does this to itself. It loves it. It can't help but do it.
What's the next story? I think we may have beat that one down.
Yeah, we beat that one to death.
Well, that's good because I don't have a lot of stories tonight. Next one up is from lightreading.com, and surprising nobody, in a move to drive up average revenue per unit that could possibly stir up some consumer ire, Charter Communications confirmed that it will soon raise high-speed internet service fees by $5 per month to a subset of customers. Broadband-only subscribers, as well as some customers who bundle broadband with one of the cable operator's streaming-based video services. Charter customers who bundle broadband with the cable operator's traditional pay TV service will not get the price hike. Stop the Cap, the first to report the price hike, said new pricing will take effect December 2nd. Citing an internal customer service document, the report noted that Charter broadband-only their broadband-only subs and those who combine broadband with the streaming TV package from the operator, such as Spectrum Choice, Essentials, or Stream, are subject to a $5 increase. Charter said the price increase follows the product enhancements it completed the bulk of its DOCSIS 3.1 network deployment in the fall of 2018, and comes as the price per megabit is falling. Spectrum is committed to continuously enhancing our communications products, providing superior connectivity, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, there's the average price per megabit per second per gig consumer declined. So they're raising the price. While the price increase could receive some consumer political backlash, analysts at New Street Research view Charter's move as a positive because it will apply to a sizable portion of Charter's broadband base and produce a lift to the operator's APRU. They also noticed that there's been some skepticism that Charter would try to implement a price increase amid suggestions of the company earlier in the year that it might have to forego a hike amid the pandemic. Analysts estimate that Charter had 10.7 million broadband-only subs at the end of Q3 2020, but that only 7.5 million of them would be subject to the price increase, which doesn't apply to customers on promotions. They also estimated that 10% of all of Charter Double Play customers take a streaming TV product from the operator, but admit their estimate is a wild guess. With everything rolled up, they believe that roughly 8.2 million Charter broadband customers would be subject to the coming $5 price hike. New Street Analysis expects Charter's price boost. Yeah, so they're coming at it from the business side, saying, hey, they're going to get, you know, it's going to raise the average return per unit by $2 over, you know, the year. So, pretty much, which we knew the cable companies were going to start doing this. People do the quote-unquote cord cutting and go internet only. So, you know, these companies aren't making as much money from, you know, having you buy satellite and cable and phone and all this other shit. So they're just going to start raising the cost on the internet.
Yeah. I mean, saw it coming. We've been talking about it for years.
Well, this is why you need competition in the space, because they're literally going, we're not making as much money per unit as we were a few years ago because people aren't buying TV anymore. We have to raise the price. They're not raising the price based on market factors. They're not raising the price based on the fact that they're providing better service. They're doing it purely because of cord cutting, and they want to make more money per unit.
And yeah, the only game in town.
And the only reason you can do that is because you have a monopoly and there's nowhere else to go for internet access that's usable. I mean, some people do cell phone only, and if you're out in the sticks, that's kind of your only choice. But, you know, like, I'm on Charter Spectrum because that's the only ISP that's not a cell phone company out here. And the cell phone companies are all by the minute, and I checked, the speed doesn't match what I get through cable right now. There is no fiber option. There is no DSL option. I could do satellite, but that would probably be worse. That's it. I was joking about buying a house earlier, so now it's a house with a basement and fiber internet. so I can hide in the basement and at least have good internet. But the problem is, because there's no competition, they can do the pricing by unit rather than by service they're providing. I was really expecting Madman to jump in here, but
I was wondering, how much they're still paying or making per channel? Because I know for a while, depending on how popular your channel was on cable, some channels were paying cable companies to carry them, so they were losing that income stream by people cutting the cord.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons you have cable packages. Like, you can't just go pick the channels you want. You have to buy them at service levels. Which, really, if they let people do that, you'd have a lot of people who stuck with cable TV if they could keep the handful of channels they actually wanted. It's like, oh, I got 130 channels. Well, how many of them do you watch? Three. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, well, why are you paying for all this extra stuff? Because they don't give you a choice. Because there's no competition in the space. And cord cutting is actually a phenomenon that you see because now there's competition for how to get a video service besides cable TV and the antenna. Of now you can stream things over the internet and you have lots of choices there. So you see real competition in the space. Now, not as much because you have shows that are exclusive to services, but you know, you still have, you know, Netflix or Apple or Hulu or Amazon or, you know, 100 other smaller ones or YouTube or DLive. I mean, you've got all these different things to pick from, you know, as well as good old-fashioned piracy. Why bother paying for cable TV, especially when it's $40 a month or more, and you're not even going to use it that much?
And if you don't mind commercials, there are a lot of legit streaming sites that are free.
Oh, yeah.
Like Tubi or IMBD, I think.
Roku's got a bunch of them, too. So, yeah, I mean, it's the problem is that because internet got created as part of, for the most part, television and phone packages, and it's, you know, it's still subject to the same utility controls and minor monopolies that are granted by municipalities and cities, there's very little competition in the space, which sucks because there's no reason for these companies to charge less. I mean, oh, we're going to hike your price $5. What are you going to do? Because most people can afford the $5 a month, so they're not going to cancel because they can't afford it. And it's not like, well, I'm going to cancel you guys and go for the other provider over here, because what other provider?
Yeah,
too few people have another provider. I'm somewhat lucky. I think the price in my area is going to stay stable. I've got 3 high-speed internet providers.
I have
not one. Everyone can say that.
I have one. Charter.
And
that's it.
Even with 3, they can do similar price packaging, and what am I going to do? So long as no one actually sits down in a corner office and discusses it, it's legal for one of them to look at, okay, what's my competitor pricing for this amount of internet. Oh, well, I'm going to be within $10 of that.
Well, they could, but then there's also nothing to say, you know what? I'm going to go $10 lower than that so that I get more of their customers. And I'm not going to treat my customers like dirt because I don't want them to leave and go to the competition.
Yeah. I'd say I probably have better customer service than a lot of other areas.
And a couple times I've had to deal with the customer service departments of cable companies, it's never gone well. Because, again, they don't give a fuck because you don't really have a choice. If you want the service, it's through them or nobody. So, and if it wasn't for the fact that my job is IT-related, I mean, I don't have a choice. I have to have internet, so, well, I have a choice, but it would involve changing careers. So I have a not, I have a very difficult choice if I can't get internet at home. How about that?
And that's becoming more and more of a thing. I don't choose work from home. I mean, I don't have a problem with it, but it isn't like I decided one day I'm just going to work from home. I have to. So internet became a necessity for me.
See, I can go into the office daily now if I want to. There's very little point because almost nobody is, but I could. So it's less that I have to work remote. It's that I might have to get on at 2 in the morning. I might have to get on weird hours. And if I can remote in from home, that means I'm not doing the drive to the office at 2 in the morning to deal with something happening. And if I didn't have internet, that's what I would have to do every time there was an issue, which would get impractical very quickly. DPV says the sound is fucked. Anybody else on the stream?
Back to it.
Back to it. And, of course, the last minute or so of audio is just probably unintelligible, whatever. So I was just saying that... Yeah, when it comes to ISPs, I don't have a choice unless I want to change careers to something that doesn't require internet. What was the issue? I don't actually know. It looked like my my broadcast box at home that runs streaming out to the server and recording was shitting the bed, and the stream server itself, I bounced it. I don't know why something would have been wrong with it, but it was. Yeah, it could just be because I was bad-mouthing my ISP. Somebody's listening. And said, you know what? Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Turn the knob.
Do you chalk one up to server for that one? Don't bad-mouth server.
So, we'll see.
All right. Go for long.
next article, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's see. This is some Torrent Freak. Speaking of things that are going to get the ISPs after you, Netflix is targeting critical tweets about cuties and using copyright requests or copyright takedowns to get them gone. So this is the old school DMCA censorship bullshit. It's been going on forever. Netflix has sent over 100 takedown notices or takedown requests this week targeting tweets that are critical of the movie Cuties and or urge people to cancel their subscriptions. The takedown notices list the full tweet, but only the linked media, which reportedly includes trailers, was removed. The takedowns are highly unusual as Netflix usually targets classic pirated content. Every week, Netflix sends out somebody at Netflix has picked a really fucking weird hill to die on.
Yes, it has. And it just tells you everything you need to know about Netflix.
Every week, Netflix sends out thousands of takedown requests, most of which target pirated copies of its movies and TV shows. Yesterday, the Torrent Freak spotted a series of copyright infringement notices with a different and rather uncomfortable theme. The streaming giant asked Twitter to remove dozens of tweets that include footage from the French coming-of-age film Cuties. You really don't want to call that a coming-of-age film.
It's not a coming-of-age film.
This whole article is just going to be uncomfortable as fuck, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
The film hasn't been without controversy, you don't say. And the same can be said about the takedown requests, too. To provide some context, Netflix acquired the global distribution rights for Cuties and started promoting it this summer. This created quite some backlash, as many people felt that the young actors had been sexualized after being filmed in all kinds of suggested poses. We won't go into the various viewpoints on the topic or the lawsuit Netflix faced in Texas over lewd visual material. Opinions from both sides are readily available all over the web, including social media. For a while, the hashtag #CancelNetflix was trending, and today it's still being used. It's clear that weeks after the film came out, many people are still upset. Netflix didn't cancel Cuties, however, but this week it actively started to pull Cuties clips from Twitter. Not just a handful, but several dozen. Legally, the company is allowed to do this, of course, as they own the rights. However, it's at least a bit peculiar that the company appears to have targeted only negative tweets. The good news
There's positive tweets? There's positive tweets?
Yes, there are.
I think those people are a little more dangerous than those criticizing it.
The good news is that the text of the tweets remains online. We don't know if this is Twitter's decision or if it was Netflix. The takedown requests, which are posted on Lumen, targeted the full tweet URLs. Over the past... Well, I imagine Twitter probably defaults to just getting the attached media. Because what are you going to infringe on the copyright of in 140 characters? Or they've changed it now. It's longer than that. But still, it's... These are short... I don't think there's enough space in a tweet to actually commit copyright infringement. Maybe I'm wrong, but I can just see on Twitter's platform they're just, you know, defaulting to whatever the attached media is and calling it a day, because I don't know what you could what could you copyright that's short enough to fit in a tweet?
A haiku?
I guess. Over the past day, Torn Freak took a look at the flagged tweets, all of which condemned Netflix. The language is quite harsh at times, including terms such as child exploitation, pedophilia, and repeated calls to cancel Netflix. Torn Freak spoke to Amber, who had a video that was posted in her tweet removed. This wasn't an illegally recorded clip of the film, she says, but the trailer, which was distributed by Netflix. Someone posted their trailer and I retweeted it and stated how I felt about the movie. Some people have the right to be upset about the movie. Or I believe people have the right to be upset about the movie. If the people share the trailer and say, go watch it, it's not a problem. But if somebody disagrees with it, it's a problem, she told us. So literally all they did was they retweeted somebody else at the trailer. I think they retweeted Netflix's version of the trailer. Like many others, Amber had no idea that she had done anything wrong. There was no indication that retweeting the trailer would be a problem or that she would break the law doing so. Clearly upset, she decided to delete her Twitter account. The whole thing is just sad, and shame on Netflix and Twitter for taking away people's voices. That's how I feel, Amber says. Author and entrepreneur Sandiso Lubisi was also affected by the takedowns. He posted some clips on Twitter to criticize the content. Today, most of the clips are removed, but the accompanying tweets with hundreds of likes and retweets survived. Lubisi says he hasn't been contacted by Twitter or Netflix directly. In this case, Netflix has a stronger claim, as he posted short clips from the film itself instead of the trailer, but failures would still be a defense. All of the targeted tweets we've seen are negative ones about Cuties. This also applies to one posted by Twitter user LesserTap, who is 100% sure that the video posted was just the trailer. with the quote, "This is vile, and 11-year-old girls should not be used dancing expression to convoy his sexuality. As a father, it makes me want to puke," he tweeted out at the time, sharing the Cuties trailer. So, yeah, this keeps going, but it looks like they're trying to use DMCA complaints, even with shit that's just the trailer, to clear up people being critical of it, although I think they're a couple of weeks late.
Months.
Yeah.
Even being late, that's a crappy use of that law, which I know was unintended. Like, they were intended to protect copyright, not prevent criticism. But that's what you risk happening whenever you have such a poorly written law.
Well, the way the DMCA is set up, if somebody issues a complaint, the service provider is stuck in the middle, and so by default, they're just going to result to taking it down. Then the person who has had their content removed can then file a counterclaim saying that they think that the person who filed the original claim is in error or not in good faith, or they had, you know, they were doing fair use, and then it's between the two, and the platform provider is supposed to be out of the loop. The problem is that a lot of these platforms don't really have any means of handling that whole second half, where somebody can say, no, I did have the right to use this, they're wrong, and I'm going to sue them, because it is a crime to issue bad faith DMCA takedowns. I don't know how it works with retweets. That would be something where you need some lawyers who actually understand some technology and have more experience on Twitter, because a retweet is really just linking. I mean, it's a form of linking to somebody else's tweet, isn't it? Or is it actually copy the content? I forget.
No, I haven't
used Twitter in years, so...
Yeah, I don't do Twitter.
I don't know if a retweet is just linking somebody else's content or if it's actually completely reposting it. I guess the way they're removing these videos of the trailer, I guess it would be reposting it. But still, that's not a... You know, it's their trailer. It's something they put out to advertise the film. So, and criticism is absolutely part of fair use. You have to be able to show what you're criticizing. That's normal. So, you know, the problem is that nobody ever takes these companies to task for false use of takedown. Instead, you just had, like, the one girl just deleted her Twitter. Just like, well, fuck this, I'm done, right? And, I mean, maybe that is the right response if enough people say, oh, your platform sucks, you don't handle this well, let's just go use something else. Maybe that is the right way to do it. And eventually you end up on one that handles stuff correctly because none of the others survive. But
when it comes to individuals, the problem is how much time and money are you willing to use up fighting for your ability to criticize cuties on Twitter?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'll go to bat for shit, but even you guys, you know, told me I was nuts for some of the stuff I was going after, like when I was dealing with eBay.
I didn't say you were nuts, man. I'm just like, it's, I'm not willing to put that much money, that much time in for $100.
Yeah.
Know what I mean? It's just time. It's just how much time. And I get it, man. You have a standard that you hold these people to, and you want that standard met. That's fine. I have a different standard.
Well, I also didn't like the idea that somebody had... I didn't like the idea of letting somebody get away with scamming me out of $100.
Exactly, and that's great.
But I
viewed
it
great.
As a personal insult, not so much about
exactly.
Money.
Yeah, and that's fine, man. Am I going to go to town and start investing time and effort to try and destroy the piece of shit, that movie that is Cutie? Not really. It's not at the level of where I feel it. When they start distributing and selling hardcore child pornography, that's when I may have to put some time and effort in, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But
the borderline is, I'll say it's offensive, but not go any further kind of thing is what you're saying?
Oh, I wouldn't recommend it to anyone, and I'd warn people that were, you know, who were told that, oh, it's a good film, you should go see it. I mean, well, hang on, let me give you some counter information on that one. I think people should be warned. You should be allowed to warn people, hey, I didn't like this because of this, this, and this. But weird place for Netflix to die on, you know what I mean? Especially, well, subject matter.
There's got to be somebody, like, in Netflix, in their leadership or high enough position of the company, that just fucking loves this movie for some reason. You can leave what that reason is up in the air, but somebody must really love this movie to go to the bat for it like this, you know?
Yeah, it's like I wouldn't want the film Lolita taking it down, but I'm not going to recommend it to people. read the book if you have to really want, if you're intellectually curious about it. But
there is one slight difference. There are things that you can do in a book that wouldn't be pornographic that once it's on film becomes pornographic.
Well, define pornography, madman.
I'm going to go with having sex with teenagers or prepubescent children. And that was hinted at in The Hunger Games.
And oh, I thought you were going to talk about it.
In The Hunger Games. But if you look at the books, if you read the books, you don't get turned on by that. They in context, when you're reading the books, it becomes repulsive. But if you turn that into a movie, if it was in the actual Hunger Games movies, it would have been pornography. You couldn't have shot it any other way and actually have shot what was being described in the books.
Never read the books, haven't watched the movies, but I'll take your word for it, man.
But yeah, but in the books, you're not even, it makes you hate the Capitol that much more. There's nothing pornographic about it.
Yeah. And
But that's something that the medium can do that the medium of film can't, because you're inside the heads of the victims of this.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
So I could see some mediums going for this, but Netflix, I couldn't do it with Cuties. There's not a way of what the artist was supposedly attempting to do. Film isn't the medium to do that.
I mean, if you're wanting to reference, you know, there are ways you could, I don't know, have a character reference it, or like somebody describe, oh, look, this person did it, by changing it into a dialogue scene between two like minor characters to say that it's happening without having to show it. But yeah, you're right. Just like doing it as described in the book. No, you can't do that.
No.
I mean, you'd have to get rid of kids if you're going to campaign to get rid of Cuties. I don't know if anyone's seen Kids.
No, I haven't.
No, DPVU is saying, what was the movie he was saying? Trouble with Being Born. So that was.
I haven't seen that one.
So,
but Kids is teenagers bed hopping, giving each other AIDS, and they didn't know it. But it was a good movie. I can't say I found it pornography, but
well, this is one of those things where, okay, the movie is for the most part, as far as I know, not technically child porn, but it's pretty damn close. So maybe it goes in that list of some of these other movies we're talking about where, yeah, it's available if you want to watch it, but maybe you're not advertising it and making it the top headline thing that you're pushing.
Well, yeah, I tell people to watch Kids, but there's a caveat. I'd tell, like, this is what you're getting into.
By the way, you're not going to have a good time. It's uncomfortable.
It's a very uncomfortable film, but it was shot in the late 80s as an awareness sort of thing to AIDS in New York.
Requiem for a Dream. It's a great movie, but at the end of it, you want to cut your wrist.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I just find it vulgar that, I don't know if vulgar is the right word, that Netflix wants to die on the hill for this piece of shit.
Do you think it's an absolute free expression argument? Because what we are talking about is censorship. Now, I think it's something that should be censored, but
I don't want the movie censored or taken down, but I do want people to be allowed to talk about the context of the film and how it made them feel. I don't just want the one side of whatever Netflix thinks they're doing. Go, oh, this is fantastic and empowering for children. No, I want to hear. It's why you have two different movie critics generally when you're watching movie critics back in the day. They had the person that liked the film and a person like maybe didn't like the film. I want to hear two perspectives. I just, getting back to the original story, I find it really bizarre that Netflix is going after these people who are just putting context to what Netflix is promoting.
Well, and that's the thing, is if it is a total free expression argument, then they wouldn't be trying to take down what other people said that they didn't like. Because that's free expression as well.
I don't want the movie banned or anything. I just want people to go in with their open eyes. You know what I mean? And the way Netflix is running around, you know, chopping people's accounts out who are talking negative about it, and then only people are going to hear positive things about the film. And then when they watch it, they might actually take some head damage because it's not a concept they ever thought of. So that's all I've got on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we might start talking in circles. We can move on to something else if there is something.
There is. Last story. Again, this one is not terribly surprising. I got it from the spinoff, but it's on several of them. The spinoff.co.nz. Kim.com can be extradited, Supreme Court rules. New Zealand's highest court has ruled that the internet entrepreneur.com and three others liable for extradition on all but one count. But they had been wrongly denied a judicial review, so that will need to be heard before it can go to the minister. So the court has ruled that Kim.com and three others are liable for extradition on 12 of the 13 counts for which they are sought, and that the money in that count being the one they're leaving out is money laundering. The court, however, has ruled that the Court of Appeals erred in dismissing judicial review requests. .com and Co. has sought a judicial review relating to what they believe are procedural and substantive errors by the district court. So, as has become customary in the unwieldy saga of United States versus Kim.com, the can has been kicked down the legal path and a judicial review has to happen now. So, in essence, there's enough of a plea case for Kim.com to face charges in court in the U.S., but whether there was double criminality, that is evidence, it's just a case that would meet threshold for prosecuting. So they're not going to prosecute him in New Zealand. It's literally just purely extradition at this point. The U.S. has alleged that Germanborn.com as an associates were breaching copyright laws and undertaking money laundering and racketeering through their file sharing service Mega Upload, a site replete with movies and music, which .com boasted was responsible for 4% of the internet. As far as traffic was concerned, he always, however, insisted that Mega Upload removed content in breach of copyright when they were alerted to its existence. They warned .com and three others, they wanted .com and three others extradited to the U.S. to face these charges, which led to the men's arrest in early 2012 in New Zealand, where they had been since 2010. It keeps going, but pretty much, so the Supreme Court has upheld the extradition request, but said that they still have to have that judicial review first. Which you would think they should have before the extradition request.
So they're going to have it before they extradite.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
But if the judicial review is just to see can they be charged in Sweden, then there's not really a reason to, or in New Zealand, there's not really a reason to have it before whether or not they can be extradited. It doesn't mean they are going to be extradited. If they can be tried, then they'll be held there for their trial and then extradited afterwards.
Well, I don't know.
What all was he charged with originally?
Money laundering and piracy.
Yeah, the FBI still has 2 gig of my files, too, when they seized those servers.
I never stored anything there. I just streamed things that were completely legally loaded there by people that wanted me to watch it.
At one point, we were putting some of the IHN and early G15 stuff on Mega Upload as a way of distribution.
Yep.
That was right around the time it got nabbed, so we didn't get very much up there. But at one point, we were going to use it as a backup source for a lot of the IHN stuff, at least.
I was using it as a file transfer
thing.
It was so easy.
Who was he charging money?
You could buy service.
Yeah, you could pay a premium service.
So,
okay.
Early days, Mega Upload was basically Dropbox. And there's 100 other of these file locker companies now. But
you could upload, I think it was 5 gig for free.
Something
before
like that,
you had to stop. Yeah, it was large. It was the largest upload for free you could get. They were the players in town for that.
And
that's why I used it. Oh, and yeah, fast. It was good. I miss Mega Upload.
I have no doubt that a large percentage of it was piracy, but there's a lot of other stuff on there that was like, you know, we had recordings up there. Were you using it for innocuous files? I mean,
I don't even know how you would have used it for piracy because there was no naming convention on the URLs.
You could share public links off of it, but
okay,
you had to flag the file as public and then get a URL for it and share it, because that's what I had to do so you guys could download some stuff on one of the, I think it was back when we were still using Second Life.
I was just copy and paste links.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
But,
well, good luck. Hope they don't get you, man. I mean, for the obnoxious fat cunt that he is, Kim.com, yeah, I don't want to see him go to prison.
Well, the argument is based around the idea that they got him. They said he was bragging that he knew about pirated content on the site and was actively sharing links. And he probably was. But again, this comes back to the DMCA just being a lousy law. So it's like, oh, you knew about copyrighted content and you didn't delete it? For shame. Off to jail with you. I mean, you know, so it's... You know, I mean, was he probably doing shady shit on the shy side? Yeah, probably. Seems like the type. I don't know that. So, you know, if you're going to prove it in court. DPView, hey, Morbs, no need to talk about this. VPS versus your own server. Oh, okay. I'll touch on that in decking here in a minute after we talk about the link I have for decking. But, So, yeah, I don't know, because it's one of these things where I don't want to see him go to jail for running a file hosting site. Because if that's the case, you need to go after Google, Dropbox, Box, Mediafire, anybody who lets you host a website, YouTube, Facebook. I think Twitter is letting you do files and videos now, too. I mean, and I realize you can make the whole, well, the percentage of the service is used for you know, piracy, so therefore it's a pirate service argument, but I mean, he wasn't promoting Mega Upload as a piracy service. He was just saying it's a file locker. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily indicate willful blindness. So long as I'm not advertising my apartment complex as a shooting gallery, that just because it's in a low-rent neighborhood and is used for a shooting gallery, it's not my fault. I'm not advertising it that way.
Yeah.
No, I hear what you're saying.
Same. Anyways, I'll be interested to see what comes of it, because it could have implications for people running websites that let other people upload content.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess unless you're Google... But
the Kim.com is just, he's one of us, so therefore he will get prosecuted. He's not one of them, if you know what I mean. The Silicon Valley thems.
One of the space lizards?
So, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's going to get treated unfair.
You don't think he'll be able to cop a plea once he gets dragged to the States?
No, because they froze all of his money.
Yep.
He's not going to be able to get legal defense put together because they froze all of his accounts.
Dude, anyone who's done anything to America when it comes digitally is just going to get the shit kicked out of him because of Snowden. I know he didn't do the same thing as Snowden. They just want to whip the shit out of anyone who makes a mockery of him.
There was that guy who hacked into several servers from Britain a couple of years ago who they extradited because he was looking for aliens. And the kid who was running one of the streaming sites, like Ninja TV or whatever it was, they extradited him from Britain to charge him with copyright infringement. Again, these are
kids.
Yeah, I mean, Kim.com's not a kid, but
no,
I mean, you know, anymore, it's the American copyright mafia is scary.
Yeah.
So,
good luck, Kim.
Yep, let's do this. All right, one thing for you tonight in Digital Dojo, and that is this open source program called Samler. What this thing is, it's a little Go script that you feed a file or a set of strings. So like if you've dumped strings out of something, or you've ever used the Linux command line strings tool. So, like, you know, if you've got a bunch of encoded data, like you've pulled off a website or something and you don't know what it is, you can run strings on it and at least get all the text out of it. And this is meant to help you cut down on the noise in text documents and other things. And so it'll let you parse a file, and it'll look for emails, IP addresses, MAC addresses, date and time, credit card numbers, domains, and phone numbers. And then you can pass it some different options for how to cut that data out. So it's kind of an information gathering tool. So if you've got a huge text file and you're wanting to break out, okay, I want all the lines that have an email address in them, you can do that with this tool. Or everything's got a phone number in it. So if you're looking for quick ways to sort data out of things, this might be a useful tool for you. And then DPView had asked in the IRC about either just using a VPS and running your own server, or using a VPN. And so if I'm understanding you right, you're either wanting to, say, grab a VPS and then install your own VPN service on it, or just straight up go to a VPN service, like, say, a private internet access or whatever. Then you say, I just want to run a couple of websites for official use. Oh, I misunderstood. VPS versus your own server and a VPN. Okay, I got you now. VPS. I would say just go ahead and go with a virtual private server. You will need to take the steps to harden it on your own versus running things through a VPN back to your house. But here's the thing with using a VPN. If you're going to run a VPN and then backhost things at home, you're still going to need a VPS or some sort of public IP address that's constant enough to run your sites on. Especially since you say they're for official use, you still need some sort of front end. So, I mean, could you use a VPN, get a public IP address, and try to keep the connection alive? Sure. But the first time it drops and you get a new IP address off that VPN, all of your stuff breaks. So if you're going to do hosting like that, you still want to do a VPS of some description, or run your own infrastructure, and then you're getting into like an Amazon account with the DNS and all that fun stuff. But I would say like a DigitalOcean or a Linode VPS is a good way to go. I use DigitalOcean personally. That's not an endorsement. That's just who I've been using for some projects. Haven't had too much of a problem with them. I've got a different host I use for the website and a different host I use for the DNS. I actually make a point of using different companies for different things. So my DNS and my web hosting are not on the same company. And the reason I do that is because, if somebody decides Galaxy 15 is offensive, which of course it is, but
do it if it wasn't.
Yeah. Let's say somebody decides and starts complaining to either my web hosting or something else. Well, okay, if they go take down my web host, I can still point the DNS at somebody else and get the website back up, and then badmouth the company, took us down. Or if they take out my DNS, I can get, I still get the website up, and I can, point another domain at it or something like that. So that's really just dividing things out. If you ever look into doing resilient setups and things like Amazon or Azure, it's actually a good idea. With Amazon, you can do multiple regions. I think Azure has different regions as well. But it's actually not a terrible idea if you want to use cloud services like that to use multiple accounts. So maybe you've got your DNS in one account and your web hosting in another account. And the reason you do that is also, what if one of my systems gets popped, right? So what if somebody gets into my DNS hosting and points it someplace else? Well, at least they can't fuck up the website. Yeah, they can point it to a drop page somewhere and, make it look like the web page was defaced, but the actual server is safe, right? So and then it's just getting my DNS account back and fixing the name to point to the correct place. Or if they get into the web host, I could point the DNS to a different web host and then, at least not be hosting malware or whatever happens if somebody gets into my website, one of my websites. So, and then because a lot of my personal projects, as well as, say, the servers we use for the group, for the yeah, for the group, like the, yeah, I don't think it's a secret. We use TeamSpeak these days for like the audio. That's hosted differently from the website, hosted differently from the DNS. And again, it's so that if any one of these services has an issue, it's not collective. You know what I mean? I don't lose everything.
Make sure everything's in different areas, man.
Right.
You know?
Well, also, it helps with separating G15 from some work stuff. Like, I've got some crossover with some of those project servers. It also helps with some of the project stuff I've been doing might not be exactly the... well, let's just say if one of those, some of that stuff's more likely to get compromised because I'm goofing around with shit, and I don't want that to affect anything. So... And we did do an article back in the early days of Decking about a company that had their entire company in a single Amazon account, right? Everything. Backups, DNS, website, customer data, all of it. And a bad actor, they figured out later, I think through somebody accidentally posting keys on a GitHub page, got into their Amazon account, held it for ransom, and when they couldn't pay the ransom fast enough or whatever it was, they just wiped out everything, and they had to shut the company down. It was done. So is it more expensive to spread it out across multiple services? Yeah, it is. It's also the right way to do it.
Well, let's just say you're not going to wake up one morning and all your shit is gone because... of something you said.
No, usually I wake up to the morning with a note from Aryu saying, hey, shit's broken, but enough of it's working that he can get me the note.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, the website's down, but we can still get on TeamSpeak and talk about it.
It's not because we're trying to be all secret squirrel about it and shit. It's just, it works better for us that way. You might find something works better for you in a different way.
Well, mostly it's also, it makes me feel better. So part of it is... purely psychological, I'm sure.
And if Morphs feels better, I feel better. It's a symbiotic self-esteem thing.
Your old company
thing,
did that. They didn't even disable your access, and you can still get into... Oh. Oh, that's not good. Okay, so I'm gonna give you this advice. Let them know to go disable your account. Even if you've never logged into it and you have no intention of doing anything bad with it, or even if you don't like those people and you wanted to use the account to hold them for hostage or something, don't do it. Shoot them a note. Hey, you might want to disable my account, because if something bad ever happens in that account and they can prove they didn't kill your access to it, they can sue your ass for doing bad things in their account, whether you actually did it or not. They're in a different country. It's okay. Well, okay. I'm not a lawyer. However, as a practicing security person, because I don't want to give my job title away because it's actually identifiable these days, I would recommend informing the company that they forgot to disable your account and you want them to do that, if nothing else, so they don't think it's you anytime they have a problem. Because I've seen that shit too, where, well, you had access to it, you must have broken it. Well,
keep that email that you send them. That way, if they don't disable your account and then decide to fuck with you later on, you've got the
proof that you tried to do the right thing.
Fuck, even take a photo of a screenshot holding the day's paper, depending on how large the company is. These motherfuckers get real litigious when you start stealing intellectual property rights.
So,
not that I'd know anything about that.
It's just, it is better all around if you don't look like the bad guy if something happens to their shit. And honestly, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Most times your security practitioners will tell you that, oh, something bad always happens. Things always get hacked. Things are all, you know, it's not if you're compromised, it's when you're compromised. Well, let me explain that a little bit. So the likelihood of a system being compromised goes up over its lifetime. And the way that works is, you know, risk is a combination of a vulnerability and the opportunity of somebody who wants to exploit that vulnerability. Well, if a system is up for, I don't know, 8 hours, like you're running, say, a Docker cluster or containerized environment where you're rehydrating on a regular schedule, and those containers only live for a very short period of time, one of the reasons that's really secure is because it's not alive long enough for anybody to really get in there and do anything for very long. Now, once somebody figures it out, they can still do damage, but they have less opportunity because also if you're rehydrating, you should be patching on a regular basis, yada, yada, yada. Now, if you've got a VPS that you've spun up and you've just left on the internet, you know, is it going to get hacked tomorrow? Probably not. Is it going to get hacked in the next week? Again, the likelihood's pretty low. A little higher than, you know, tomorrow, but in the next week's low. What about the next month? Well, again, it goes up a little bit, but it's still pretty low. Well, what about in the next year? Well, now you're getting into some real probabilities. Well, what about the lifetime of the system, which might be 5 or 6 years, or 10 if you don't ever update and patch? Well, now your probability is getting up in the, you know, getting up there. So that's where you get the security people saying your shit's eventually going to get hacked, is because most of the time people don't do the maintenance on it. They don't patch it. They don't rotate. They don't do that shit. So you see the sysadmin they got after me. I had to give him a bash primer. Oh, yeah, I know what that's like. We used to use Proofpoint. Email security systems, and if you ever have to call Proofpoint secure support desk, God help you. But their appliances are locked down, and you know you have to get their access in to do anything to fix them. And the only people who have access are their support desk, depending on how your contracts are set up. I swear, you don't know pain until you've been hours on a phone with somebody who doesn't know how to work an SSH session, but they're the only ones who can get you root access into a system to fix it. You know, where they insist on taking control of the WebEx, and they log into the system, and then they start digging through files, and they can't figure out why the scroll wheel doesn't work in Vim. Not that I'm bitter.
All right. Any more information, we're going to start charging consulting. All right.
Probably a good point. So, yeah. Anyways, that's all I've got.
Good luck with it, man. Good luck with it anyway.
Yeah. Yep. If it's like a cool project or something, let us know. If it's some personal or official thing, I don't want to know about it. But anyways, of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday in the IRC tonight. Myself, Sardonyx, the bot, Cyberlard, Cykros again. Did I already say Cykros? Whatever. DPView, Madman, and the Coffee Maker. Of course, the Galaxy 15 radio site and the subreddit. I screwed that up. Doesn't matter. Madman, closing thoughts.
Bourbon's good?
Bourbon.
I don't really have any closing thoughts.
No, that's an excellent closing thought. Are you? Closing thoughts.
I'm just sitting back enjoying the show. Long may it go on.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Democracy simply doesn't work.
Shut up, Wesley.